Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for attending this section. My name is Maria Silveira. I'm from University of Florida, the Range Cattle Research Center. Today, I'm going to talk about short-term effects of grazing intensity and nitrogen fertilization on soil organic carbon under grazed pastures in Florida. Before I start my presentation, I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Kezi Liu, who is currently a postdoc at Clemson University, and Drs. Lynn Sullenberg and Joe Vendramini. I want to start with a very brief introduction. Pasture management can have important implications not only in the amounts of carbon that are stored in the soil, but also on the long-term stability of the carbon. Some of the improved managements that we normally use with the goal to increase production can also promote carbon storage. Those improved management techniques include things like nitrogen fertilization, grazing management, fire management, species selection. They can all either promote carbon storage, but they can also deplete soil organic carbon. Any management technique that reduces the amount of carbon removed or increase the production or carbon inputs or carbon allocation in the below ground biomass can potentially increase soil carbon. So the challenge here is how we can optimize these pasture management techniques to enhance carbon sequestration, but at the same time maintain yields and ecosystem function. Although there's a considerable body of literature related to pasture management and the potential impacts on soil organic carbon, there's very little done on warm climates, particularly in sand soils like what we have in Florida. Our hypothesis is that pasture management responded differently depending where you are located, depending on the environmental conditions and also the soil type. So the objective of this study was to investigate short-term impacts of grazing intensity. We picked two management, pasture management, in this case was grazing intensity and nitrogen fertilization levels on soil organic carbon dynamics of a Tifton 85 Bermuda grass pasture grown in Florida altisol. A little bit of information about our study site. We conducted this study for 2 years, which is quite unusual for carbon studies. Usually when we refer to carbon studies, we have a minimum of 3 or 5 years. In this case, we were more interested in the short-term changes. The study was conducted in 2006 and 2007 in Gainesville, Florida, on established Tifton 85 pasture. The soils were, as I said, altisol, sparse series. What I want to point out here is the texture. The soil contains less than 10 grams per kilogram of silt plus clay. So it's an extremely sand soil. The initial soil organic matter was less than 1%. And our study site, as I said, it was located in a subtropical climate with an annual mean temperature of around 1,000 millimeters and mean maximum and minimum temperature were 29 and 17 degrees Celsius. Here's just a schematic representation of our study site in Gainesville, Florida. And we tested the effects of both grazing intensity and also nitrogen fertilization. With respect to the grazing intensity treatments, we picked three grazing intensities based, and they were based on the differences in post-graze stubble height. We selected three different post-graze stubble heights as our target, 8, 16, and 24 centimeters. So because the grazing period was the same for all treatments, that means that the shorter stubble height means that there were more animals per unit of area or higher stock graze intensity, as opposed to the 24 centimeters stubble height, which means because, again, the grazing period was the same, that means that there were less animals per unit of area. The grazing season varies for us, varies anything from June to October or November, depending on the year. In 2006, we had a little bit of better weather, so we had 6 grazing cycles in 2006 and 5 grazing cycles in 2007. And for the grazing treatments, this is not a factorial study, so we were trying to isolate the factors. For the grazing treatments, we fixed the nitrogen application rate at 250 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. Now, for the nitrogen fertilization treatments, we kept the same stubble height or the same graze intensity. They were all kept at the 24 centimeter stubble height. And the nitrogen fertilization levels we tested were 50, 150, and 250 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. The experimental units were the same size, 8 by 50 meters. Treatments were arranged in a complete randomized complete block design with two reps. We collected soil samples prior and 2 years after the treatments were imposed. And the samples were collected at 20 centimeters depth. So all the data I'm presenting here today refer to that top 20 centimeters depth. And some of the analysis include total carbon and nitrogen, size density fractionation. We also determined the particulate organic carbon, and we also did some delta C13 signature measurements. I want to start, let's switch over to the results. I want to start with the total carbon and nitrogen. What I'm showing in this table here is the impact of grazing intensity on total carbon and total nitrogen. Again, this is a two-year study, so we were not expecting any major difference in terms of total carbon and total nitrogen as affected by our treatments. And that's exactly what our data is showing. Let me see my point here. Although there is a trend for decreasing organic matter, total carbon as the grazing intensity increased, that those differences were not statistically significant. The same with nitrogen. But now when we look at more sensitive indicators, for instance, particulate carbon, after 2 years of these treatments were imposed, we see a linear decrease in particulate carbon as the grazing intensity increased. Not only that the concentration decrease, but also the percentage of carbon, particulate carbon relative to the total carbon also decrease as the grazing intensity increase. For instance, at the 24 centimeter stubble height, particulate carbon represents approximately 34% of the total carbon. As we increase our stocking density, particulate carbon represented approximately 27% of the total carbon. And this was due to primarily the amount of carbon inputs, both above ground and below ground inputs, as affected by the grazing management. So this data has been recently published in Crop Science. The gray bars represent the above ground litter, the dead material that's being deposited in the soil surface, and the dark bars are the root rhizome. And as you can see here, there's a linear decrease in the carbon inputs as my grazing intensity increased. So that's consistent with the particulate carbon response we see I presented in the previous slide. Now, with respect to the nitrogen fertilization levels, again, this is a two-year study. We didn't expect that nitrogen fertilization levels would affect total carbon. And that's exactly what the data is showing us. There's no significant effect of nitrogen levels on both total carbon and total nitrogen. But again, when we looked at particulate carbon, there was also a linear increase in particulate carbon as my nitrogen levels increased. And again, percentage of particulate carbon expressed as a percentage of total also increased as my nitrogen levels increased. And again, I'm not showing the data here, but the amount of carbon inputs is the main reason, major driver for this response in particulate carbon. Let me just also point out something here. Not only the total amount of carbon being incorporated via above ground and below ground inputs were affected, but also the decomposition rate. So the chemical characteristics of these materials also were also affected by my grazing and my nitrogen fertilization treatments. We also did some size fractionation to look at other indicators of changes in management. I know this table is a little bit busy, so let me help you understand. Again, on the top here, I'm showing the stubble height or grazing intensity. I'm showing the nitrogen levels. Normally, for those who are not familiar with these techniques, normally what we expect to see is the larger particles. In our case, is 2,000 to 200 micron. The larger particles are the ones that respond more rapidly to management because the larger material corresponds to the carbon that was recently incorporated in the soil. But in our case, what we observed was that the smaller particle, the less than 53 micron, was the one that reflect the changes in both grain intensity and nitrogen fertilization level. Although this is consistent with other studies conducted in Florida, this pretty much contradicts all the other studies done in other soils and other climatic regions. At this point, we just have a hypothesis to explain why exactly that happens, but we don't have data to support our hypothesis. When we looked at carbon concentration in that smaller particle, the less than 53 micron, the carbon concentration decreased linearly as my grazing intensity increased. Similarly, with my nitrogen fertilization levels, the carbon concentration, that smaller particle, decreased almost linearly as my linearly as my nitrogen fertilization level decreased. So again, this is quite unusual, but what we think is the main reason for that is because the texture of our soils, the Florida sandy soils offer very little protection, and all the carbon that's being incorporated in the soil can mineralize so fast that they tend to accumulate in those smaller particles. By the way, about 70 or 80% of the carbon, total carbon, was found in the particles less than 150 microns. So the majority of the carbon is being stored on those smaller particles. With respect to the delta C signature, delta C13 signature of those different size particles, as we expect, as I mentioned, the larger particles reflected material that's been recently incorporated. So this area was originally a C3 dominated site, and the original and the native vegetation, the delta C13 for the native vegetation was about minus 30. As we expected, the smaller particle were more depleted, had a more depleted signature. But quite surprisingly, again, the smaller particle was sensitive to our management practices. In fact, the delta C signature in that smaller particle was depleted as the stubble height decreased from 24 to 8 centimeters. So again, this is quite unusual, but we think that the characteristics of our soils and also the environmental conditions where these treatments are being applied, it is consistent with those results. So as a general conclusions, as we expected, after 2 years, this management intensity showed no effects on total carbon and nitrogen concentrations in the soil. However, lower grazing intensities promoted carbon accumulation, the particular organic carbon fraction. And this is enrichment was primarily due to the changes in carbon inputs via leader and root. And as I said, not only the total amount of carbon inputs was affected, but also the chemical composition and the decomposition rates of these inputs changed as a function of both grain intensity and nitrogen fertilization levels. And what is consistent with other studies conducted in Florida, but it seems to contradict with all other data published in the rest of the country, is that the smaller particle, in our case, less than 53 micron, show greater carbon and nitrogen concentration with less intensive stocking rate or greater nitrogen levels. And the proportion of C4 carbon was reduced as the stocking density decreased. And more research is clearly needed, particularly in our sandy soils located in warm climates, to better understand what are the mechanisms for carbon protection and stabilization in our soils. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions. Thank you. Yeah, probably not much from the above ground. The majority comes out. What I show is carbon biomass, not the carbon inputs. But the majority comes from the root biomass. I'm not showing the data, but we have the data. The majority comes from the below ground carbon inputs.
Just to follow up, when you showed your standing stalks, it looked like there wasn't very much difference
Yeah, there were some significant differences in the roots also.
So that decreased
the roots, yes. Yeah, we have a series of paper where we show that in more detail. But yeah, the roots biomass decrease as a function of a grazing intensity. Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a bit of, I don't recall exactly what is the biomass of the above ground litter, but yeah, there was quite a bit of litter, dead material. Is that what you're asking me? Yes.
He's asking, I think, if it's trampled in by the grazing.
The grazing period was so short, it's only 10 hours. I don't think it's the animal affecting, it's just the cycling. We removed from the sample. Yeah, they were previously, the samples were sieved at 2 millimeter before we did the fractionation.
Any other questions?
Thank you.